I will say I didn't really coming out and starting to actually date were two separate things. I should pull my solar. Actually, do we have a second? I want to pull the chart for when I actually started fucking.
Yeah, let's look at it. Welcome to Orbitals, an astrology podcast. I'm your host, William Holloway, and today's show is all about the astrology of coming out. With me to discuss and dissect is my special guest, astrologer Alexander Creek. Welcome back. How are you?
Hi, thank you. I'm good. Thanks for having me back. I'm excited to talk about this.
Yes, we had originally intended to record this during Pride Month. It is no longer Pride Month. It's July 2nd. I was having an issue with the concept of time in June.
Yeah,
a lot.
June was exhausting. I was like, let's totally table this.
Yeah.
So it's literally fine. Like, so I feel like I'm still recovering. Like,
yeah, I know, right? I mean, I had Neptune opposing my Saturn for the longest time. So maybe that has something to do with it.
Oh my gosh. I have Mars on my moon today and yesterday.
Oh.
And I'm just like, girl, it's like I want to do all the things, but I'm also still like very tired. So, but I'm also just like kind of vibrating a little bit. So, I'm glad we're exercising some of that Virgo energy today.
Yes.
Just kind of dissect and talk about stuff, you know?
Yeah, this is the perfect space for that. I too am feeling kind of jittery because I didn't get very good sleep last night. I actually woke up at 3 a.m.
Okay.
Feeling very wired. I was having restless leg syndrome, which
no
is a
way.
New thing that I've been dealing with.
Oh my God.
Which I didn't know was like, anyway, I'm not getting into that. That has nothing to do with astrology.
I feel like that Uranus hanging out at 29 Taurus, though, is just like, oh my God. Like,
right.
With everything in the headlines too, it's like that's like a recipe for not sleeping, I feel like, as well. So
it is. There's a lot to not sleep about.
Yeah.
But yeah, I couldn't sleep, and so I was having these like brain zaps. I was just feeling very jittery and like a lot of anxiety. And then I go and I look at what transits are happening. This was 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. this morning, and I had the moon in Libra was conjunct exact almost to the minute my Mercury in Libra.
Oh, okay.
Which makes sense because, you know, Venus is in Taurus, pretty close to that Uranus, which is getting ready to leave Taurus. So it's,
yeah,
Uranus has been really loud. And I'm like, well, that's what it is. I'm like, oh my God, am I having one of those Kundalini things? Because it's in my first house. And then I remembered that I forgot that I hadn't taken my antidepressant in a couple days.
I was going to say that sounds like the Lexapro zaps. Yeah. I literally was going to say that. So, because I was like, when I was a late teen and I would get these brain zaps when I would run out of it. So yeah.
Zimbalta. Okay. It was my Zimbalta. I forgot.
Okay.
And
I was like, I could have told you that one. Oh,
I know.
So my fellow depressed sister, my fellow depressed and anxious sister. I feel you. So
I know. That's supposed to help with my obsessive thinking.
Oh, yep. Okay.
My Virgo stellium needs some help with that.
But. Yeah. One of my best friends is Virgo sun as well, and has like I won't go into it, but actual, like, people joke about like, oh, Virgo, like OCD, but like it's like he's like actual OCD, you know what I mean? But also I think that's also partially due to Saturn sitting right on his ascendant as a, I think it's, he is a day chart, but that Saturn was it's quite interesting on like the depressive stuff and you know. So yeah, that chart's a fascinating case study in all of that. So
yeah,
but anyway, I won't reveal too much of his personal info.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean, it is interesting to see how things like depression and anxiety show up in a chart,
mm-hmm.
but also things like being able to tell if you're gay or not, which is the
good segue.
Good segue. That's why I was like, where's the segue here? Okay.
Yeah.
Happy belated Pride. Like I said before, we were going to do this during Pride, but I wanted to look at the astrology of coming out. Now, I wasn't familiar with the astrology of my coming out, but I was like, well, I know there's something there. So let me invite another fellow gay astrologer on here and let's look at it. And I think it's interesting because, you know, in the beginning of learning astrology, that was one thing I remember wanting to know about. I'm like, is that something you can tell? Can you tell if someone is gay from their chart? And, you know, most astrology teachers would say, no, you can't tell, you know, just like you can't tell someone's race and all that stuff. But I do think, obviously, it's not going to say that you're gay, but circumstances are going to show up, you know.
I feel like I used to care more about that question way early on, and that was more when I was doing numerology. And there were definitely patterns that would show up when someone was, because I just remember, like the number 11 showing up a lot. It's like the duality and masculine, feminine kind of stuff. It's like someone who's like queer, bisexual would show up a lot. But I feel like over time I just stopped caring about, because when you asked me that question, because we were kind of talking about what we want to talk about, I was like, I'm not sure I've ever, I just haven't had that experience. But I would think that it would, if that is a significant life experience for you, if that is a dominant part of your life story, that is going to show up in your chart just like anything else. But I feel like if it's like not a big deal, you know, like if I just, I don't know, I'm not sure, maybe that would show up. But I feel like everything shows up if you look close enough. Because I have a trans sibling and I kind of feel like that shows up in her chart. Because I just taught, I was just teaching like a little workshop about the ascendant, and the ascendant ruler. And I was talking about how I have all these family members with Virgo rising. So Mercury being the ruler of Virgo, I was looking at like, how does each person differ with their Mercury being in a different part of the chart, being in a different sign, and Mercury in Virgo, or in Virgo being like a double bodied sign. It was interesting to see it kind of like reflect in her chart because she has Venus and Pisces exactly opposite her ascendant. And so it was like later in her life, like this femininity became a really big part of like her expression and being angular kind of in the chart, and Virgo being this double bodied energy. It's like, oh, I kind of start as one thing and then I transition into something else, or like I, you know,
like a butterfly.
So I thought that was, I don't know. That's my thought on that. Like when you look at mine, my chart, I'm like, I'm not sure you can tell. There are certain things when we were kind of preparing that I was like, oh, there are certain little patterns that I'm kind of noticing. But what do you think? I guess I want to know, like, did you see any signatures in your chart that would maybe indicate that, or any patterns you've noticed over time about like sexuality and stuff? Or what are your kind of thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, in my own chart and in others, over time, something I have noticed with queer people, it can be a Uranus emphasis. I mean, there's various reasons that fits, right? But I've also noticed like some of the younger queer people, maybe not so much Uranus, it's just like Venus stuff. So it's like, as it's less shocking or less outsider stuff, then it's just Venus stuff, right?
That's interesting, because in my chart I have, my chart ruler is Mars and it's opposite Uranus in my chart. And like I remember when I came out, I had one day where I was like sad, and then I was so happy like afterward. I was like, oh, I'm so happy no one has any expectations on me and I can do whatever I want, because that was my vivid feeling that I had from it. And thinking about it, I'm like, oh yeah, Mars opposite Uranus, like it's also opposite Saturn in my chart too, so it's like a little different, but
interesting.
And Neptune. I'm like in that Uranus, Saturn, Neptune all in Capricorn, but that Mars Uranus thing to me was like, oh, it just feels like it's that thing that gives me freedom, like, you know, like enjoying being a little shocking, like,
yes,
you know, I like, you know, I liked that idea of like, I can be on the fringe of society. No one has any expectations of me, like that kind of Uranian kind of feeling. I definitely remember just feeling like, oh, I'm so happy I can just be this, you know?
Yes. So, yeah. I had a very similar experience in feeling, oh, I don't have to have these expectations on me about having children. And all. Like that was very much part of my thought process when I came out to my mother. And I'm a Taurus rising, and I have Uranus and Scorpio right on my descendant. So very prominent in my chart.
Okay. Yeah. you're a little bit older than me too, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I
So I
was
feel like,
born in 80, and so yeah,
okay,
yeah, I know you're.
I'm 89. So
Okay.
like, I feel like that Uranus right on your descendant's like very prominent. It's like, yeah, like, you know. Okay, cool.
Oh, so you're part of the Saturn Neptune generation that was born in 89.
Yes,
Okay.
totally. So that's interesting to see that play out right now.
Yeah.
So
Well, do you want to share your screen? Do you want to
sure.
talk about your coming out story and
Yeah.
all that?
So I guess I'll share the birth chart first. That's my chart with the aspects. Can you see it? Okay. So I guess for the like coming out stuff, I was sort of like first house, ascendant, ruler, seventh and fifth. Seventh being partnerships, fifth being like sexuality. And I guess starting there was kind of where I was looking at. First thing I noticed, well, one of the first things I noticed was Venus is under the beams of the sun. So it's like moving out, you know, but Venus ruling my seventh house of partnerships and generally representing like beauty and sensuality and that kind of stuff. Like I did kind of see it as like that delayed expression, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Like, yeah. So not necessarily like maybe like the biggest thing, but what I noticed even beyond that first was I have my lot of fortune in the fifth house. The lot of fortune having this sort of faded and kind of charged quality and kind of ruling over things like, you know, literally like luck and fortune, but also physical body stuff, including like how you experience pleasure and beauty and bodily passions. It's like, so that being in the fifth house, like things like romance and love might have like a more of like a faded and kind of charged sort of quality to it. And that part of the chart gets activated at age 16 for me, because that would be a fifth house year. And that's kind of when I remember starting to like let myself stop actively repressing stuff, because I remember hitting puberty and like having these, you know, strong physical like urges and stuff. And I remember thinking, I was like, you need to stuff that down, because that's like, you'll go to hell and stuff like that. So,
Of
or
course.
like, you know, that thing of like, there's something wrong with me, like, I need to fix it, you know? So,
Right.
and like, and having that, and I, you know, I have Pluto in my ascendant, Scorpio rising, born in 89. So I have kind of Pluto hovering there. So just sort of dealing with like, just sort of having the inner intensity like all the time, you know? So I noticed that first. But I don't know. Do you see anything? I guess I wouldn't want to monopolize it, but I'm curious what you see
Yeah.
in that.
I mean, certainly the first thing that jumps out to me is that Venus Mercury in Gemini in the eighth house,
Yeah.
right? Like having a secret or having a something that yeah, that's like forbidden or something that needs to be explored, something that you
Yeah.
need to do that eighth house work with, right? Like very,
Yeah.
like
It's
coming
just
out.
like it's like taboo also, you know, like,
Taboo. Yeah,
yeah.
and it's something you do have to have that. I hate the whole like dark night of the soul, but every gay person, every queer person has to, come to terms with who they are, who they want to be, what it all means and reconcile, and that's all very eighth house stuff.
Yeah. When I did initially, I really did think like many people, they obviously, bisexuality is a valid identity. There are many bisexual people and pansexual people. I really thought I was bi first. But
I think
also that
that's
speaks to
normal.
Gemini. Yeah. And that speaks to that Gemini energy too, because, you know, sometimes I think quite literally, and I was like, well, I've been attracted to girls a few times, but also I didn't really know the difference between like having like an intense friend crush on someone and wanting
Right.
to have sex with someone, you know what I mean, and be romantically involved with someone. I was like, you know, so yeah,
Little gay
so
guys always like to date pretty girls, right?
exactly, yeah. And we're like, and I still recognize now as an adult, if I meet a friend, like I have that feeling, I'm like, I would have been fucking obsessed with you in high school, but it's
Right.
and that is kind of a crush to me, but it's like not like a crush, you know. So I definitely had that. So
Yeah.
yeah.
Love it. Yeah,
Yes.
I mean, and then even your moon in Virgo, squaring Venus. you know, the nature of a square is like it's very powerful, but if you're, but it's something you have to work through, and it can be a challenge, and then it becomes a superpower later on, right?
And well, in Venus is almost exactly square my nodes in my chart, and it also squares the lot of fortune as well too. So like there's just something extra like potent about like Venus stuff in my chart, you know. When I started to come out, it's very linked to 11th house stuff for me, which is the seventh house, so partnership, you know, from the lot of fortune. That my 11th house in my charts, like there's a lot going on there, you know. 11th house is friends and colleagues and stuff. And but I actually was super into World of Warcraft when I was like a teenager, and my guild, like I remember feeling like I first kind of came into who I was because of like the social aspect of it, because I was bonding with these like adults like online and in game, and a lot of them happened to be gay or queer. And I remember first discovering that I was like funny and like I had like an interesting sense of self and identity, and a lot of them were gay, and I was like, I just was like, oh, I kind of, there's a like a resonance happening, even
You
if
have
I
an
wasn't
audience.
exactly, yeah, like, and I was like, oh, I'm like queening out for like the first time, you know what I mean? And so it was literally, and I literally I went to, actually went, my dad came with me and my little sibling came with me, but we had, there was like an in-person like get together, like a camp basically, like we all went camping, like we went a couple states away, but I just remember being like those friendships and connections I had then like really helped me like kind of realize what was going on and help me come out and stuff. And that was a very like big deal. And my moon being in my 11th house, you know, I think is a big part of that. And so that happened when I was 16. And so, you know, that fifth house is activated in the chart, and you know, fun and recreation and like friends and everything. It's all kind of coming up to the surface. All be but it also has this like extra sort of charged and faded quality to it as well, I think because of the lot of fortune being there and everything. So
Yeah, that's great. I love it.
yeah.
How was it with when you came out to your parents? When was that? Did you come out to your parents? After your friends, was it like a period of time? Like, was that years later or?
No, it was like around that time. My dad found my MySpace page.
I love that.
He found my MySpace page. I said I was by my MySpace page. I must have been 16, going on to 17, somewhere in there. I remember like we're in the basement. But the thing is, my dad had just watched Brokeback Mountain. And like a couple months before, because our guild leaders, we were like, oh, they're just best guy friends who live together and have cats. And then it was like, oh, they're gay. Wow, that's crazy. That's nuts. Oh my God, they're gay. Wow. That was like earth shattering for him and me. And then he watched Brokeback Mountain, and then he was just like, oh, I get it. Like, I get it now. And
Oh,
then I
good.
think there was something in me that was like, it's safe to come out. Because then he asked me, what is with this bi shit, quote, direct quote, on my MySpace page? And he's like, are you just gay? And I just said, yes. Like, I was like, yes. And that was the first time I'd even admitted it to myself. Like, I was just like, yeah, I'm just gay, you know? And then I remember, I think I must have come out to my mom a couple weeks later, and it wasn't this like, I was like on my way to work, and she was like on the phone or something, and I was like, by the way, I'm gay, and I just like left. And that's really all I remember from it. I honestly feel like I remember her having, I feel like she had a little bit of a harder time with it, weirdly. I don't know why.
Usually one of the parents has a harder time than the other. It's
Well, she was more like outwardly accepting and stuff, but I get a feeling that that might have been a little,
more of a
I don't know.
struggle
Yeah,
internally,
for for whatever reason. And then yeah, but otherwise it was, I feel like I had a pretty, I mean, I still was like really kind of like repressed and like buttoned up for a long time. I think I'm looking at that moon in Virgo a lot of like, you know, of like Because
it
I
could be a bit of assimilation, like with Virgo. Sometimes, like, there's something about people pleasing with Virgo, so that can be
And
when it comes to this, yeah, you're not
it's like
fully.
there's a feeling of like not wanting to rock the boat. Like I
Yes, that's
just
what.
was like, I was like, because you look back, this was the mid 2000s, and like I remember looking back at that decade and being like, that was so fucking homophobic back then. Like it's hard. And I forget about it. And I feel, sometimes when I run into homophobia now, I'm like, it's like shocking to me that it still like exists almost, maybe because I'm in like a it's a different time and I'm like a more like urban area and stuff. But like I just was like, wow, like I forget about it. So I think I was just protecting myself a lot still. Even though I was technically out, I was still kind of in, I was in my shell for a very long time, even after I came out, So, because like making queer friends and stuff, that didn't come till later. Dating didn't come till a lot later for me too. So, but people had asked me if I was gay, since I was young, because the way I think, the way I talk, and my general
Same.
demeanor and stuff, it's like so it just wasn't, it was but it was a big relief nonetheless to not keep that a secret anymore.
Absolutely. I love
So
that. And did
yeah,
you have any opposition from anyone in your family or any friends, or was it generally accepting?
I had started to really make friends with people that I just with like girlies at that time, so like band and choir, girls and stuff. So I just,
Oh, you were safe. Yeah, you were finding your safe spaces.
I exactly. Yeah, exactly. And with family, I kind of didn't really have to come out to a lot of people. It was sort of just gradually people found out, and I didn't really talk to a lot of my extended family. Like a lot of my, like I remember like my mom's extended family, I just had nothing to do with for the most part. I have more, I have chilled out a little bit more with that now. But I just, part of me was like, I don't give a fuck, and you accept me or not. Because my, I felt pretty accepted by my parents and stuff. And
That was what
so
mattered
it,
most, so.
yeah, I think I just needed to feel like I was in my safe kind of cocoon. And so I could be that introvert for a while, and kind of figure myself out after that. But that was just, so I think it was just a long process. But also, if you look at the first house ruler, it's Mars in Cancer. So it's Mars and it's fall. It's conjunct Chiron as well. I have Chiron turn on, which I know you don't have it turn on your chart. So,
I know where it is.
exactly. I think that Mars in Cancer as that protective shell is very much like was very much me and still is, to some degree. But I've definitely let a lot of that armor go. But I think if you look at the that planet as being in its fall, it's like I feel like it's like a chart that like gradually comes into itself. And it's just
It finds its own
more
time.
comfortable. Yeah, and more confident, more courageous and more about, 'cause like Mars being the ruler of the first house of self and identity, it's like, So yeah. Do you want me to talk about the specific transits that I found out about? Okay. So let me back this ass up really quick and let's go to the solar return. So we'll go to the solar return at age 16. So that year, solar returned sun in the eighth house at age 16, which I think is kind of classic, like you could say dark night of the soul, quote unquote, that kind of stuff. I did notice that Jupiter is right in the ascendant, but from the 12th house. And so I saw that as like, oh yeah, there's a lot of spiritual growth kind of happening behind the scenes at age 16. Jupiter is, oh, I thought that was, wow, I should have worn glasses. Okay. I thought that was more of an exact aspect, but Jupiter is still trine Venus in the ninth house. And there was something about going on that trip, I think, that year to like with friends and stuff. I thought that was really interesting. And is there anything else? Mars Venus conjunction, that kind of explosive, disruptive kind of stuff.
It is Mars Uranus.
Yeah. It's in natal fifth house.
Yeah.
Which is like just, I think, that combustible kind of energy, but of like, I'm kind of coming alive a little bit. But I would also mention it's in the solar return sixth house of work. And I started working. I got my first job at age 16. And age 17, let me go back to 17. I think there was more going on that year, but you can kind of see the beginning of it start to happen.
Yeah.
Where's okay,
all the pieces coming together.
Yeah. This is actually when eclipses started happening in Pisces and Virgo, which were my 11th and 5th houses, which it's also connected to that nodal return that kind of happens kind of when you get to like around freshman sophomore college for me age. But it was kind of like, I really feel like that's when I started to become more myself, was age 17, like more of a realized identity. Like I had really strong interests in like, you know, various artistic things and music, and like was really interested in like comedy, and just like a lot of my personality traits that I have now emerged at that time. And Jupiter was in Scorpio that year. And so it would have been a right about to go over my ascendant. Around my birthday in 2006, when I turned 16, there's that conjunction of ascendant and Pluto in the solar return chart as well, which I think is just like a theme with me anyway, but just that feeling of like metamorphosis a little bit. And there's also a Mars return happening in Cancer, Mars being my ruling planet. It's pretty important as well. So, I just kind of saw a lot of themes of beginning. I also low-key, I feel like I was at a pretty heavy weight that year too. Like, between six, I just needed to learn about like exercise, and I just loved, I think I was feeding some depression.
Oh, at that for time, sure. I had a few of those years. Yeah. Yeah.
So, that Taurus sun was just like, yeah, I'm going to get an entire frozen pizza again.
Yeah. It's healing.
Yes. So, but that's kind of what I noticed, as far as like transits and stuff. There was definitely a story kind of going on.
Yeah.
You know?
I love it. And then, you know, you've got that Jupiter in the 12th trining Mars in the 8th. It's like coming out of the dark, right?
Yeah, totally. It's a sixth house year. Mm-hmm. It's ruled by Aries. So that's Aries for me. So ruled by Mars again. So I think the Mars return was like something really kind of like significant going on there. I definitely don't miss a Mars in Cancer transit. There's always something going on there for me. Yeah, you know?
I was going to say.
This last year was intense with that never ending Mars and Cancer fucking transit. It was so relieved when it ended. Oh my god,
that was insane. Yeah. Yeah. No thanks. So, I don't want to do that again.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So that's kind of that.
Interesting. Well, you know, I see a lot of similar things that I saw in my stuff from my.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So pretty awesome.
Let's see it.
All right.
It feels so intimate sharing our charts like this, actually. I know, right? I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to cry. It was like, I don't know what point I was talking, but I was like, am I tearing up a little bit? Like, Jesus. So, you think you're kind of over it, and not, actually.
I know, it's true. Yeah, I was feeling a lot of feelings looking back. I was a little verklempt a couple times there, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
This is my chart. I was 15 when I came out. Mm-hmm. That was in 95. I was a freshman in high school. Pluto had just entered my eighth house. So in 95, Pluto entered Sagittarius. And it was, I want to say, around 13, which is when I started to really realize that I was gay, that Pluto was on my descendant. I was
oh, wow.
about
Okay.
13. So then by the time it made it to my eighth house, I was like, all right, this is like part of me, you know. And also something of note is that when Pluto, when anything goes into my eighth house, I have my lot of fortune right there. So it trined my lot of fortune as soon as Pluto went in.
Okay. We have so much synastry at that 22.
We do. Yeah, I was going to say.
It's giving girlies.
I love that. Yes.
Okay. Okay. So 22 Taurus.
22 Taurus. I do feel like this Uranus on my descendant.
That is like so. That is so loud for sure. It's like, yes. Yeah. Look at me clashing with the culture, not right. doing what you want.
Exactly.
So your fifth house, so your seventh house ruler is Mars. Oh, okay. Yeah, Mars and Scorpio. Do you have like a big, like, did you ever have like a punk phase or like an emo phase or like what was the equivalent
of
that?
Yeah, for sure. I wouldn't call it emo because I think emo was different by the time.
Yeah, because it's like I'm not using the right word, but yeah, goths, but kind
of. Oh yeah, I had all that. Yeah, all of the things. I've had a lot of phases. I certainly when I came out at 15, I dyed my hair blue and I wore like a dog collar and
great.
Doc Martens and all that stuff.
I love that.
Yeah.
Because you have such an intense seventh house. It's like, I'm going to be divisive. Like, you
know? Yeah. And always like friends with people who, you know, were shocking or that people were like, oh, who's that? You know, that was always a big deal to me.
Right.
In high school. Because when I got to, actually, let me pull up my solar return chart for that year, because I really leaned on my solar return charts because I remembered, like, you know, it was generally 95, I want to say the winter when I came out, and that's the one I remember pretty closely. But let me,
I know it was hard to narrow, we talked about this, it was hard to narrow down the exact times. I wish I would have kept a journal or something.
I know, I used to, but all that stuff got thrown away.
Oh no. Okay, so this is your coming out year.
Coming out year. So this was also the year I entered high school. So I was a freshman in high school. This was the year after Kurt Cobain died. So I remember it was very, like, I was very lucky that, it, like, in alternative teen circles, there were safe spaces for, like, experimentation. Everybody was bisexual, at least where I lived, it seemed like that was like the in thing, so it was really safe to come out because everybody was bi for like a hot second. My eighth house is rising.
And you have your moon applying to the descendant as well. What about the
Venus under the beams?
Oh yeah, totally.
I was having a Mars return.
Yep, there's that Mars return thing again.
I remember as soon as I got to high school, I wanted to be friends with all the seniors because there were a handful of lesbians and queer people that were seniors, some juniors, some seniors. So I became friends with this goth girl, and I just remember maybe it was a musical or something. I don't know why we were there, and we were smoking cigarettes like on the back of the school by the cornfield. And I just remember smoking cigarettes and coming out to her. And I never come out to anyone before. And I wasn't even close friends with her, but I felt safe because she was like, you know, the bisexual goth girl. And she told me she wasn't going to tell anybody. I was like, don't tell anybody. Mm-hmm. And of course she told everybody. It was okay because all of the at least all the seniors that knew about it were like trying to set me up with people. So I got, within a few months, I had my first boyfriend.
Oh my gosh, wow.
Everybody was setting me up. It wasn't but
you got a boyfriend with the moon conjunct the descendant in your chart, and also like your sun being so high in the chart by the midheaven, it's like this elevation in your status almost too. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
People are like noticing me more. I'm gay, I'm queer, whatever. Like I'm hanging out with the seniors.
Yes. It was
Jupiter
a big deal to me.
The ascendant. Yeah.
And I'm still friends with some of those people that, you know, that I was so, it was so important to me to hang out with because, but it was, and again, it was like, on one hand, yes, it was because I was like, oh, they're cool and they know who they are more and I can be more experimental with who I am around them because they've go to raves and they do cool stuff and they know more music than I do, whatever. But another part of it was it felt safe to have, you know, another safety thing to have. Well,
yeah.
I have the seniors. No one's going to fuck with me if I've got like seniors on my side. So,
yeah. So how was it at home? Because there's Saturn on the IC and you're.
Well, I had a stepfather at the time who was not so cool. And I did not come out to my mother at this time, but I can open up the solar return for the year I came out to my mother. But yeah, I had a stepfather that really sucked, who had moved in like 2 years before. Yeah, he sucked. He still sucks wherever he is.
Yeah. I also had a shitty stepfather as well. Current one's great. I've known him for a long time, but the one from my 9 to 14, just yuck.
Yeah, so, I had similar. I had a terrible stepfather from 13 to 19.
Okay.
But the man that my mom's with now, who she's been married to for a while, he's wonderful.
By the way, I love seeing your charts up. We had Debbie Harry and Judy Garland in Israel, and I'm like, and whatever's going on. Just like geopolitics and the divas of our time.
Yeah.
Okay, so when did you come out to your mom?
So I came out to my mom at some point during my senior year, which was this solar return for 1998, which gives me a Virgo rising, which is my, I'm a Virgo, so that's my fifth house, but also where my sun and my Jupiter and Saturn live.
Okay.
It was an intense year. I had been some point in here, I was asked by my school counselor to start the first gay straight alliance at my high school. There had never been one before. I don't know if they still call them that. I think they might actually, which is so strange. The gay straight alliance.
I know. I wonder what it's called now. And then I remember it being called like the 10% Society when I was in pursuit. And I was like, oh my God, like, I know it's the language has evolved so much.
The language has evolved. Yeah. And so I was like, oh, so there was like a part of me that was like, I had never really considered before, like that I could represent, you know, gay people, but I felt very empowered. The fact that my counselor asked me, because, you know, the counselors can't create groups that students have to. She was like, I really think that the school needs it. And I think you'd be the perfect, because as far as she knew, I was the only out person, which at that point, by the time I was a senior, I might have been one of the only out people at my school. So I was all about it. And I went to all these different county meetings and like, how do we create a successful gay straight alliance? Like, what kind of activities do we do? How do we get people involved? And, I got like people to start coming to meetings and all this stuff. And I kept having to lie to my mom about what kind of group after school activity I was going to.
Wow.
I was really into wanting it to be, I wanted to have like a gay prom where all the gay kids in the county could go to one school and then have a gay experience with other gay people, get to know other gay people. Meanwhile, the rest of the kids that were not out in the group wanted to sell hot dogs at the football game.
Okay.
And I was like, you have to be kidding me. Do you realize like how insane that is? Like, you really want to put us in that position. You're going to have us handing out hot dogs at a football game. A bunch of closeted, pimply, gay teenagers handing out hot dogs.
Yeah. And wow.
So I bowed out because I was out of, I was not, I was the odd man out. And I was like, well, if this is not progressive to me, this is weird. I don't want anything to do with it. I still remember them like having to say over the announcements, like that they were going to, that the gay straight alliance was going to give out hot dogs. Anyway, I,
Oh my God. I just don't want to open up myself for any like phallic jokes. If right. I'm like a, you know, like.
Why? Yeah.
So that didn't, because I was going to say, because Pisces is your 11th.
Right? Yes. Pisces is my 11th.
It's like the meetings and groups, but so how did your experience with your mom go?
It went okay in my memory. You know, she didn't take it for, she was completely shocked, which is strange to me in retrospect. I mean, she even says it now. She can't believe that she was so shocked, but she just wanted, she was in denial about it. Yeah. And she did struggle with it for many years. Now she's, you know, now she goes to pride parades and wears I always see the women at the pride parades that say like they have a gay kid. I'll give you a hug or whatever.
Oh, I love that so much. I know that always makes me tear up.
So, but that's how my mom is now. But she was not in the beginning. She wasn't. She was. I think it stemmed from that whole like I want you to be safe and happy, and I'm worried you'll be sad and lonely.
Yes. You know. Totally. Yeah, completely. I think there's just so much subconscious programming of like seeing people dying for so long, you know, and everything that went along with it, that I'm sure it's just lodged in her subconscious, you know. So, okay. Cool.
But yeah. Something I thought was interesting was that Jupiter in Pisces at 23 degrees is opposing my natal Jupiter.
Okay, cool.
Which is very, you know, like self-reflection, like what are my values, like who am, well, what are my values, what do I stand for, like what am, you know.
Yeah, Jupiter's really active in this chart. I mean, yeah, you know, it's opposing your sun, your ascendant, your Mercury is really loud too, you know. It's also very like Virgo ascendant with Mercury and Virgo ruling the midheaven. It's like feels very clear about who it is. I kind of feel like in this totally. You know.
Any trends? Have we seen any trends with anything here? Does anything jump out to you that we've seen? I mean,
were we talking about Mars stuff?
Yeah.
What was our Mars thing?
We both had a Mars return.
Yes.
Jupiter seemed to be really speaking something. And then of course, Venus.
What is Mars rule? Mars rule is your seventh, if I remember correctly. So partnership. Mine's my first of self. Yep. I will say I didn't really, coming out and starting to actually date were separate things. I should pull my solar. Actually, do we have a second?
Yeah.
I want to pull the chart for when I actually started fucking.
Let's look at it.
Same ascendant as it was when I officially came out. There's a new moon going on. At exactly 23 degrees, which is obviously where my solar return sun is. And what that would be happening in my natal seventh house. That's kind of fun.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of perfect.
It is kind of perfect. Cause I was like, what's going on that year? I met that boyfriend through a friend as well. And what perfection year would that be? Age 21. Oh, it is 10th house. Okay. Cause 17, 18, 19, 20, 20. Oh, you're right. Okay. But in this case also, in the solar return chart, my natal 11th house is the 10th house in the solar return chart too, which is kind of interesting as well, but just like meeting someone through a friend, you know? Mm-hmm. And I would also say though too, that 10th house perfection, my 10th house is Leo, my natal. The sun in my chart is in the seventh house. So it's bringing through that relationship kind of dynamic, like anyway. And I have noticed in 10th house activations and sun activations, there's usually career and relationship stuff happening at the same time.
Right. Like personal fulfillment.
Yeah.
Things that you've been working. Yeah.
Yes. I'll say I did get a new job that year too, that I had for like a year and a half. And that needle, there's some sixth house work stuff going on, but there's Jupiter and Uranus conjunction that's happening in Pisces, which would be fifth house as well too. Cause I just remember starting to like party more and like
having more fun,
having more fun, like, you know, and for better or for worse. But I really, by that point, I was dying to start having, I was like, dying. I was like, I am ready. Let's fucking get this over with. Thank God, you know? So I just was like,
it was an adventure. I mean, look at that. You've got, I mean, yeah, your body was literally going on an adventure. You've got the lot of force conjunct.
Yes.
The ascendant, which is ruled by that Jupiter.
That's a good point. Because I just remember being set up with this guy. My friend was there for Buffett for a little bit, and I got drunk for one of the first times too, in this bar. And then he's like, let's go for a walk. And we ended up at his house, and I was like, I know exactly what's happening. Thank fucking God. Let's do it. But I remember being just like awake because I slept over, and I was just like awake the whole night because I was just like vibrating because I'm like, I can't believe it just happened. Thank God. I cannot believe it just happened. What's happening right now?
Right.
So yeah, that's that. And then also, yeah. And then solar return, Venus is right there in the seventh house as well.
Perfect.
So it's given. She's finally getting dick down. Finally.
It is. Yes.
And it's going to get much, much better from that point on. Cause it was, you know, so, but hey, it was good practice, you know?
Good practice. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a great losing your virginity solar return.
I love that. I love that. Thank God. Started going to parties and having sex. Thank God. Let's get those fifth house and seventh house activations going. So, exactly. All right. That's critical to our examination. But
yeah,
you know, what were we saying? We were asking about trends. So Mars.
Mars seems to be a trend. Jupiter definitely seems to be a trend. We both had prominent solar returns where we had Sagittarius rising.
Yeah, that's true. That happened to me twice. That was coming out year and then having sex year. Right. But Jupiter rules my fifth as well of sexuality, you know?
Yeah.
What else do we notice? So... but specifically for me it was Jupiter going, there was Jupiter twice, Jupiter going over my ascendant. It was like, hello, here I am, here's my identity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like first house activations is good. That has to be a thing of like yourself and your identity.
When I first came out, that was a fourth house.
Okay.
Perfected year.
And your fourth house is
Leo, where my Venus is.
Yep.
And then, when I came out to my mom and then the rest of the world in 98, I was having a seventh house year.
Oh, okay.
Ruled by Mars and Scorpio. So.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Kind of cut and dry. First, seventh, probably some fifth thrown in there too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's cool. Also, there was some supported stuff by the moon also too as well. Like, it's okay.
Yeah. You
know? I guess it would depend on your coming out experience though. If yours is really traumatic, I would be definitely interested to see what transits and stuff are happening for you at that time as well, you know?
Yeah, I know. I would like to do some more of these. Maybe it'll be if this podcast keeps going on and on, every Pride, I'll do a different coming out stories because I would like to hear different, maybe some more difficult, because I think we both had pretty easy coming out experiences compared to what so many other people have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So many hellish experiences. I was pretty privileged, I think, in that regard to be like, it's just not a big deal. I mean, it was, but it wasn't, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It was like
I was physically safe. So
physically safe. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Physically safe. I didn't get disowned by my family. My family loved me no matter what. It didn't mean they were comfortable with it right away. Now they have absolutely no problem whatsoever. They wouldn't want me any other way. But it was a bit of a journey. But yeah, again, privileged and feel very lucky to have that experience because not everyone gets to have that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. This is really fun.
This was really fun. Let's see. What time is it? Do we have time?
Do you want to play Wheel of Fate? Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Yes. Great.
Cool.
Spin the wheel.
All right. So the way this works is I spin a wheel, lands on a random planet. Then I spin another wheel and it lands on a random sign. And then we just riff on that for a few minutes, whatever comes
All
to mind.
right, let's go.
All right. Now we play the Wheel of Fate.
I do
Oh.
love that Dorothy's face is right in the middle for anyone doesn't see it. It's kind of okay. We got the moon.
We got the
Okay.
moon.
Okay, Miss Luna. Let's see what we got going on with you.
All right. I know, poor Dorothy. She's gets a little dizzy here. All right, here we go. So it's the moon in. Moon in. Oh.
Oh, Moon and Sagittarius. Okay.
All right, Moon and Sagittarius.
Okay, great. So it's in a Jupiter-ruled sign. It's a fire sign. Do you know a lot of Moon and Sagittarius people? I feel like I probably do.
I know, B. Arthur.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Okay, calling it back.
Calling
Yeah.
it back,
Yep.
Liberace.
Okay. Great.
Oh, Donald Trump, of course.
Oh, bitch, speaking of fucking long-winded.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God.
Oh, my damn.
But then also, Albert Einstein,
Okay.
Neil Armstrong.
We have some really widely varying examples
Yeah.
here. I guess appropriate for a mutable sign, you know?
Yeah.
So I always just think someone who like someone who's probably gonna land on their feet, you know, that's like a Sagittarius thing for me. Especially if like the moon is more the moon having that kind of more wandering quality anyway. I feel like it'd bring out that sort of wandering traveler quality if we have like
Yes.
Sagittarius energy. And like the
Moon and
need to kind
Sag
of
people love to travel.
yeah, it's that need for exploring. You know, there is obviously kind of more philosophical side to Sagittarius as well. But I always think of the gambler also too being a Sagittarius thing, which I guess is like that landing on their feet kind of thing.
Yeah, but
Try
there
to
is a
think.
risky quality to it, right? Yeah, like
Yeah.
let's go to Vegas, roll some dice.
Yeah.
And there is something about when I think about some of my friends with Moon and Sagittarius, that ability to hold deep conversations about like some of the fluffiest stuff with also like real world stuff.
Yeah, totally. Bringing in the actual meaning of it. I do feel like I know teachers, like spiritual teachers who have that, who have Moon and Sagittarius as well, you know. Also just kind of needing space, you know, too. I kind of think of it was like, if you're gonna date a Moon and Sagittarius, let's not box them in or tell them what to do too much, you know. So,
Yeah,
you
they're
know.
going to do what they want to do ultimately.
Yeah. Literally gives me the feeling of like the wandering horse. Like the moon is just sort of like, let's let her wander and do her own thing. And, you know,
Yeah. Give her a grassy knoll and a trough
totally. I do always breathe, you know, having like when the moon, when, like when the transiting moon goes into Sagittarius, I don't mind the moon being in Scorpio, you know, it's my ascendant, you know,
Yeah,
but
as
when
Scorpio
the,
moon, I feel
when,
the same.
well, like when the moon goes into Sag, I was like, oh, okay, I can kind of chill out a little bit. And it's my
Yeah.
second house, so sometimes I will like throw up like an offer, like a sale or something, or think of some, and I don't even realize that the moon is in Sagittarius. It's like when I'm doing that, you know. So because I'm just like, let's just fucking try it and see what happens.
Yeah.
Sometimes my approach to finances and also. Like anything in my business too. It's I wish it was more well thought out, but
Yeah.
I just am like, whatever, like let's just try and see if it works, you know.
That's a big thing about the moon in Sagittarius. And I've noticed that when I've been on vacation, the most relaxed I ever am is when the moon's in Sagittarius,
Yeah.
where I'm the most, I don't give a crap about whatever is going on. Like, let's just do it, whatever. That sounds great. Fun.
Yeah.
Let's
And
go.
it's giving, let's not have a plan. Let's just kind of check
Yeah.
things out. I love, those are my preferred vacations. Let me tell you what. I don't know what it is. You would think me having a moon in Virgo, I'd be more like, let's do this and this and this. I might have an idea of what I want to do, but I'm more like, Let's go with the flow. I want to indulge. So, moon being in Sag would be my favorite vacation time, you know?
Me too. But then the moon goes into Capricorn. I remember one vacation. It was the best, like moon in Sagittarius. And as soon as it went to Capricorn, all of a sudden everything became about, money, time and not enough time, too much time. I don't know. It just was like all of a sudden, like things started mattering. Like time became a thing.
I definitely savor those. I definitely savor those. Especially, I feel like when a Sagittarius transits now might be a little bit more fun since Saturn's out of Pisces for now. You know,
Yes.
it's not as hampered by that. So I'll have to keep track of when it goes into Sag next. It should be fairly soon because the moon's cruising through Libra at the moment. So,
Yeah.
although that'll be what, a full moon in Capricorn? So it'll be very like, it'll be a waxing Sagittarius moon, so I'll definitely have to keep track of what's going on with that. But yeah, moon is Sagittarius. We like her. We've determined that we like her.
Yeah.
I feel
She's
like.
great fun on vacation.
Yes. So, yeah. All right. Cool.
Cool. All right. Well, I think we did that. Before we go, what do you have anything going on? What's going on with you astrologically?
Well, I'm going to be teaching a class fairly soon about the ascendant and the chart ruler. I
Cool.
got to decide when I'm going to teach that because I taught it as a 1 hour workshop, but I realized I had a 2 hour workshop that I had prepared. So,
Oh,
but I
gotta
think
split it
that's like
up,
my,
maybe.
I was like this clearly, I had to run through my slides and I was like, I'm just going to teach this as a 2 hour class myself. So, keep an eye out for that on my socials. And you can check me out on my YouTube channel as well on my Instagram. I just talk about usually like the current weather. I'm definitely wanting to like sort of change things up a little bit. Because I'm doing like monthly forecasts like for each sign, but I think I'm gonna want to talk more about the astrology of current events.
Ooh.
Because I remember thinking yesterday I was so mad at generally current events, but specifically with the bill that's trying to go through Congress right now and Lisa fucking Murkowski.
Yes, I
And
saw
I
you post
and
that. Yeah, I was like,
yeah,
yeah.
and once I was done being so enraged and I could think a little bit, my astrology spooky brain was kicking in and I was like, I bet there's something going on in her chart and Uranus is about to conjunct her sun. So I want to start talking more about what's going on, current events, politically, pop culture wise, and obviously the astrology of kind of what's happening within, tying it together. So that's kind of
Fun.
what's going on for me now. And then I'm obviously, always doing readings and I do psychic readings too. If people want to kind of connect more to their guides, that's been a fun side effect of my Jupiter return. Realizing I was like, oh, I still love doing that too. That's deepened in like the past
Oh,
year,
good.
tuning into guides and stuff. And mediumship has been one of those things too. So, because I
Yeah.
have Mercury in the eighth house.
Oh,
So,
yeah. There you go. You have a moment to explain a little bit more, because I remember last time I wanted to ask you to expand a little bit more on that side of what you offer, because I think it's really interesting. And I said last time I still need to get a reading from you. But yeah, I'd love to hear a little bit more on that.
I've been doing that for a long time, since 2016. It's funny because I feel like so many people have like, and when I say like psychic medium, I usually don't really use cards or anything. It's more just like I'm tuning into you and your energy and getting messages from spirit for you. And that was more me accidentally finding out that something I was good at and enjoyed because I decided to take a class in it. Because I was like, because I remember being like, oh, my numerology says I should be really psychic and intuitive. Let me just go see if I can take a class on it. And it was like a year long like psychic development program. We'd like meet every week. And
Cool.
by like class four, I was like, oh, I might think I might do this for a living. Like I just was like, I should probably look at what's going on in my chart at that time. But
Yeah.
yeah, so I that's just like over Zoom or over the phone or something. And usually, I was meditate beforehand to kind of clear my energy and I'll start with, it's what I learned to do several years ago and I still do it. It's called a rose reading. Oh. So I'll see it in my mind and I'll have you say your name and whatever symbol is popping up. It's like, it just kind of helps get things going. So like today, I remember doing a reading like last week and I saw a person's rose was like really vibrant and it looked like it was painted. It was, mm-hmm. and I found out she's an artist, right? Because I was specifically, it's painted. She's like, yeah, I'm a visual artist. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. But also, like, the rose was like it was under a glass, like in Beauty and the Beast, you Ooh. Know? And it felt like it was wanting to grow past, it felt stuck in the glass. And to me, I was like, it's kind of giving, like, you're trying to expand something in career, because I would get like a feeling with it too. And that was her main question, was she was kind of feeling stuck in her work. And then that it just kind of expands from there. And we'll talk to sometimes, you know, your loved ones will pop up and sometimes we'll just get random psychic pictures that are like, maybe not meaningful, but kind of cool. Like today I was like in the middle of it. And then I just saw her playing on a Switch and I was like, are you a gamer? I feel like you're playing a Switch. And she was like, oh, I was playing Stardew Valley like right before this. I was like, okay, I'm not sure that's meaningful, but it's cool. You know? Yeah. So
it's just like telling you that you're connected, right? I mean,
yeah, exactly. So I love doing that. It's funny because the planets kind of involved in that in my chart are like really positive, happy planets. And that's been my experience with that. It's never been scary or anything. It's just like,
that's great.
You know, sometimes it's very emotional. Sometimes it'll be very emotional. Like if we're connecting to like a loved one or something, but it's never been this like traumatic thing. I'm just something I just randomly was like, I think I'm good at this. And it feels like something I'll always do in some capacity, maybe not full time. But I always want to keep that ability working because, you know, it's been taking me a long time to be like, to accept it and cherish it on its on its own, you know.
And to be open with it. Yeah. Cause that's that's totally a vulnerable thing. Yeah,
it is. I've had to do a lot of readings to get to feel confident, to be honest, and not sure. Think that it's going to go away. Cause it's all it's all in your head. So as a Taurus, sometimes I'm just like, bitch, I got to come back to reality and like touch grass a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I love doing that kind of work. And combining the two has been really fascinating too, you know, cause doing, I remember because I'll do like combo sessions. So like we'll do like astrology and then intuitive or, you know, in reverse. And I remember the first reading we did was a psychic reading. And I was like, you're giving me past the like Library of Alexandria philosopher vibes. I just was like getting this. And then I remember looking at her chart after, and her chart ruler was like, ninth house Mercury in Aquarius, and it was like kind of feeling to me like I was getting the vibe of her chart without looking at it until I sort of looked, you know, of that philosophical intellectual kind of energy that she had. So it was just I love the combination of the two.
I love that. Cool. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yay. Yeah. I'm gonna book one of those with you very soon, and
I would love that.
Yeah. Anyone listening who is also interested in that, I'll have links so you can book a reading.
It's dogstaroracle.com, like dogstaroracle.com. So we can find everything there.
Perfect. Yay. Well, this was fun. Thank you for joining me to talk about this gay shit.
I love it. I will queen out with you anytime.
Thanks for coming.
Oh my God, thank you for having me.
Bye.